Father, we love you. We love you because you first loved us. And we're asking this morning that we just want to meet with you. And we're asking you to come, that this would not just be a time we spend, but a time that you come and open up the word to us, break it open. Help us to see it. Help us to understand it. Help us to walk into it. Help us to see it like we've never seen it before. We say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Last week, we talked about the Bible as the inspired word of God. I want you to realize that Scripture, the written Word of God, is needed in our diet every day. Because Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, it is written. In other words, He had read it. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When you go to read the Bible, by the way, if you take that every word, when you go to read the Bible, read it and slow down and think of every word. Just slow down and look at each word. Don't get in a hurry and say, oh, I know what that means. Maybe you know what it means overall, but maybe God is wanting to say something to you. You slow down. Sometimes what I do when I'm eating is, obviously, I like to eat, and sometimes when I go to eat, I'm finding myself wolfing the food down, tastes so good, or I'm hungry, or my mind is just like, I want to consume this, and I'm just wolfing it down, and then about halfway through, I realize, oh no, I'm going to run out, I'm going to get full, and I haven't really been enjoying the food, I've just been stuffing my face. So then I slow down, and I put like a bite in my mouth, my grandkids will know. I'll go, I just take my time. Of course, it irritates Sue and Janaya when I start making these noises. But seriously, all I'm trying to say is we slow down and savor each bite. Slow down and enjoy each bite. We need to slow down and enjoy the Word of God. God, what is it you have here? Slow down and taste it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Scripture, the written word of God, is needed in our diet every day. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Have you made reading God's word more important to you than eating? Have you ever made that decision? I am going to make His word more important than eating. In other words, I'm not going to eat until I read the word. I'm not going to feed my flesh. Don't we get tired of living in the flesh? Don't we get tired of sin? Don't we get tired of the things that overcome us in our life? Well, if you want to get strong spiritually, if you want to get stronger in God, if you want to get stronger in righteousness, then we have to make the Word of God more important than our regular food. Instead of feeding our flesh, let's feed our spirit. Soul food. Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips, but I have esteemed, I have made important the words of His mouth are more important than my necessary food. Okay? The Bible is not just a book about God, but it is His very words spoken to us. Last week we talked about the Bible as the inspired Word of God. That means it's God-breathed. Every word is God-breathed. Let's look at number two. The Bible is our basis of truth. There are many philosophies in this world or ideas of men. But what does God have to say? I want you to look in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. God had me memorize verses 8 through 10 a long time ago because people have ideas outside of truth, but they put them forth as if they are truth. Beware lest any man spoil you, take advantage of you through philosophy, that's men's ideas, and vain deceit after the tradition of men, but we all do this. After the rudiments or the principles of this world, and not after Christ. For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body or bodily. Number 10, and ye are complete in Him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. He is the head of all authority. Beware of philosophies. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening, devouring wolves. Beware of false prophets. We've had people that have come here that have been false prophets. They sound good. They seem to be of God. But how do we know if somebody is of God? How do you know? Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them, in that very passage, Matthew 7:15. Right around there. Okay? But watch this. If you know the Word of God, and when they're saying something and something doesn't seem right in what they're saying, that's the Holy Spirit bringing it back to you and going, you know the truth. But if you don't know the truth, they can deceive you with fair words and smooth things. Beware, God says. Turn to Matthew chapter 16, please, verse 6. Matthew 16, verse 6 and verse 12. Then Jesus said unto them, we're talking about being aware or bewaring the philosophies or the ideas of men. Jesus said unto his disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 12. Then understood they how that Jesus bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine, the teaching, the instruction of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware of their instruction. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. Be careful what you listen to. If you spend a lot of time in the Word, okay, then when other people start teaching you, trying to teach you stuff, it doesn't seem right in here. Stop. Stop listening and go and say, God, Holy Spirit, show me the truth. And He'll take you, He'll remind you of truth. John 14:26 says, He's the holy reminderer. He will remind you of all things that Jesus has said to you. Okay? So beware. 2 Peter 3:17, please. 2 Peter 3:17. See, we think, oh, I've got it all figured out. I understand truth. I know what's right. But none of us, including me, have arrived. None of us. We are in process of learning always. And it's real easy. The devil is smarter than us. He's been around. He's got more experience. He's deceived the best of them. Okay? Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, or you know them now, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He said, you may think you're strong now, but you could be led away. The devil doesn't just come in here and go, oh, Jesus is not God. He comes in here like Jehovah's Witness. Oh, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God. But when you ask him, is Jesus God in the flesh? Oh, no. He's somewhere between God and angels. You see, they say words, but they don't mean the same thing. You got to be careful. That's why you need to read the Word. And that's why you got to be careful. Somebody wants to lead you away. It doesn't say yank you away. They're going to lead you away step by step. That's how error creeps in. That's how somebody has done in our government. Anyway, Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Let's stick to the subject. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Are you there? Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Paul is getting ready to depart from where he's been for a while, and he's talking to the leaders, and he says this. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says, "For I have not," we're going to do verses 27 through 32. "For I have not shunned, I have not shrunk or withdrew from declaring unto you all the counsel of God." See, we want the whole Bible, not just the parts we like. We want the whole Bible. A lot of people just want all the positive. Well, our bodies are made up of atoms, and the atoms have positive and negative neutrons in us. Okay? If you were all positive, your body wouldn't hold together. Okay? There has to be positives and negatives. Okay? "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." I'm just going to stop here. I didn't know I was going to. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." I feel like he wants me to say to you, who has God made you an overseer of? Who has God made you an overseer of? Take heed for them. Take heed, because how you go is how they're going to go. But I think it's because God is doing something more here. I think he's speaking to somebody. Who has God made you an overseer of? Who does God want to make you an overseer of? Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go back. We're in verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departing..." Oh, I got to stop here again. Do you know that so many churches start good? So many ministries start good, and you hear about somebody, and we could name a preacher's name, Oral Roberts or somebody, and their ministry starts good, Billy Graham. But then when they leave and they turn it over, so often the next ones, they change it a little bit. Keeps changing, and it gets away from the way God was blessing it. Do you understand? When we talk about things and we do things here, I know I'm a strong personality, blah, blah, blah. But God is wanting to get some things real strong inside of you. Okay? And he wants you to stay strong and true to the faith. And you got to be careful, because if I got in a car accident tomorrow, and I'm gone, like Paul said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." See, we need to be disciples of Christ, not disciples of a person. Disciples of Christ. Okay? "And now, brethren, verse 31, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren," what does he say? "I commend you, I hold up to you God. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." That's where we need to put our faith, in the word of God, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified or set apart. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, please. I love this verse. I think I love every one of them. I love this verse. I memorized it so long ago. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that, what does it say? Put their trust in Him. He's a shield unto them. I just talked to somebody yesterday that was telling me their problems of their life. And I spoke a little into them and then I walked away. And then God reminded me that I've said many things to them in the past along the same thing. And I, do you know that in our life, Jesus, do you know that in our life that we need to have a foundation just like your house? We need to have a foundation, and then you build things on the foundation. Now, if you put down the, what are those things called in the ground? Footings. The footings. And then you built a, what's next? Foundation. Okay. Now what's next? What's next? Okay. But let's say we just left the structure part out. Let's say we didn't put the 2x4s or the bricks, but we're going to build the house on drywall. Okay? I'm trying to make a point here. In our life as believers, we need to build line upon line, precept upon precept, word upon word. When we leave something out, I said to this person yesterday, you know, when I said, is it okay if I say something to you? And he goes, yes. I said, I'm only saying this to help you. I said, the reason God wants us in church is because then we're in His house under His authority. It's like a child that gets out from under his parents' authority and plays in the street. They tell him not to play in the street, but if he does, beep, beep, he loses his life or part of his body. Okay? I said, when we are where we're supposed to be, we're under protection. And these things that happen in our lives when we're not there, they don't happen as easily because we're in the place where we're supposed to be, under authority, under God's protection. And I said, I've said this to you a number of times. And I said, I felt like God just wanted me to say it to you again. And I haven't even seen this person in a year or two. They used to come here. And as I walked away, I was about 10 or 15 feet away, and the person said, thank you for telling me that again. Now, whether they do something with it or not, that's their choice. My point is, we can't leave part of the foundation out. There are things that God wants. Our main foundation is the Word of God. Everything has to be built on the Word of God. That is our plumb line to find out if it's true or not, if it's straight or not, what we think, what others say, what's going on. We measure it by the Word of God. I feel better now. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. That's why we read the King James Bible. Every word of God is pure. When you read, I don't trust any of the other 100 versions in the English language. I don't trust one. Every one of them contain the Word of God. But what if I'm reading and what I'm reading isn't the Word of God, but it's in there as if it's the Word of God? Somebody's leading you away from the truth. Just a little. Just a little. But how much of the truth do you want? That's why I have to stick to the King James. Okay? Just letting you know. Just throwing that in. Okay? Where are we?
what was the last verse? Deuteronomy 8:3, please. Somebody just asked me this question. Here comes your answer, George. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. God's ways are beyond us. Neither did thy fathers know. Why did he do this? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word. I can't get over that. Every word. Every time I ever quote this or think of it. Every word. That's why you got to slow down when you're reading and meditate on every word. Is there a word here? What is this word saying? And get it. Like, savor it. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. I love prophecy, but I don't live by prophecy. I live by the word of God. Do you understand? I love to hear God speak, but I always, even when I'm hearing preachers preach or preachers that I respect, I love hearing that. But I'm going to take it by the word of God. I led a man to the Lord, a Catholic man, on a Wednesday night, and he went to church that night, his Catholic church, and he was 35 years old or whatever it is, and he took his Bible with him. He just got saved that day. It was an Ash Wednesday. This is probably around 83 to 85, somewhere in there. I don't remember, 82, something like that. And he goes to church, and his mom, now he's 35 years old, he brought a Bible to church, and she said, "Why did you bring that?" And he said, "Because it's the Word of God. I want to follow the priest and make sure what he's saying is in the Word." He had just got saved that day. And she said, "Well, of course it is." And he said, "Then what's the problem?" And he said, when he looked around, besides the priest who read from whatever book he was reading from that had the Word of God in it, he said, besides him, there was nobody else that brought a Bible. Are we following God or following man? I don't know. That was just, I didn't see it in my notes. It just somehow got out. Okay. Deuteronomy 8:3. We already did that. Psalm 119, verse 160, please. We only have about 5 or 6 more verses and we'll be done. Thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. I love these two verses. The word of God is the preserved word of God for us. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. That's how pure. Pure. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. This is the preserved word of God for the English-speaking people of the world. It's a preserved word of God. If I was in Uganda, what they read is not, you know, well, the ones I was with read King James, but some of them, when we got over to Kenya or whatever, they read different versions. That's a preserved word for them. God has the word for us. What we need to do is we need to read that. Okay? All I'm saying is you can trust God. He wants us to know the truth. John 17:17. John 17:17, sanctify or set them apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word will set us apart to what is right, divide us from what is wrong. Thy word is truth. Next verse, Ephesians 6:14. You see, the word will make us stable. The word of God will make us stable and strong. Stand, therefore, having your loins the central part of you, girt about with truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 11. We have, I think, three more verses or something like that. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 11. I wish you would memorize that verse and meditate on it. Just meditate on it. Thy word have I hid. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. You hate sin. You hate error. I hate sin. I hate it bad. I hate sin. It makes me mad. When I see it, I will kick it. I hate sin.
Because I love God.
Okay. Anyway. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, I got to just share something with you. It's not in my notes, but I got to share it with you. Look at verse 24. Psalm 119. 24. Thy testimonies. Okay. Longest chapter in the Bible. 176 verses. Almost every single verse has to do with the word of God. But he calls it eight different things. One of them is testimonies. Okay. Verse 24, thy testimonies, thy word also are my delight and my counselors. Where do we get our counsel? Who do we turn to? Verse 25, my soul, my mind, will, and emotions cleaveth unto dust. Quicken, make me alive according to your word. What makes us alive? Don't you feel so often? Like, as soon as you're walking in God, everything's awesome, we got worship going, and then you take one step, and you feel like you're, like, going right back into dust, right back into death, right back into the world. My soul cleaveth, holds on to the world. My mind, my will, my emotions hold on to the world and death. Oh, please quicken me according to your word. Make me alive. We got to spend time. We got to let the word dwell in us richly. Okay. One last. Oh, I thought it was one. Oh, my word. I guess we're, hang on. Okay. Dude. I don't get to read all that. Okay. This will stop here. John 8:32 and 36. John 8:32 and 36 and we're done. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you know what freedom is? It's the opposite of being trapped and bound. Are you trapped? Do you feel trapped? This week, did you feel trapped? Bound. Can't go. Are you bound? The truth shall make you free. And then it says in verse 36, if the Son, who is the Son? Uh-huh. And what did it say over in John 1? Who is Jesus? He's the Word of God. He's the Word of God. And the Son, if the Word of God shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Truly free. You want to be truly free? Or just an American that says we're free? Home of the free and the brave? Are we? No, not with the dictator and tyranny. Okay, do you understand? What sets us free? Truth. The Word of God is truth. Thy Word is truth. Love you, Jesus. We ask that you would make this Word so real to us. We ask you to jump inside of us with it. We want to take it in. We want to see your word, think on your word, read your word, digest your word, meditate on your word, memorize your word. We want to honor your word the way you want us to, because we want your word to reign in our lives. When he sings that song, let it rain, how about let your word reign in our lives? Both ways, R-E-I-G-N, to have rule over, or to reign, to pour upon us. We say thank you, Jesus. Amen.